Believe in yourself, believe in your body. Rock, 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 it's the self-esteem party. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Self-Esteem Party Podcast.
Why are you laughing right away?
Because you're making a face.
It's because you said the intro like you were opening a door to a room and walking in.
I'm your host, Alana Johnson. I'm your host, Alana Johnson. And with me, as always, is that little rascal producer slash husband slash roommate, Norm Sousa. Norm. I've been majorly derailed. You are such a little rascal. You could have been in the movie.
What are you talking? Well, first of all, it was a TV show first. What, you talking about the remake movie, The Little Rascals?
Yeah, aren't they cute?
fucking murder me.
I would never. I need you.
Set this to explicit.
Norm.
Hi, how are you?
How are you? That's what I was about to ask. I'm okay. How are you?
Just okay.
Okay, let's get your self-esteem party check-in. Scale 1 to 10, how you feeling about yourself?
You know, it's hard to... It's still... I woke up a little late today because I couldn't sleep last night. What time did I wake up? Like 9:30?
It's a bit more teetering on the 9:40.
Wow. So I think I'm just... I don't really know. I don't have a firm gauge on how exactly I'm feeling. But right now, I'm going to say I'm literally the middle of okay, which is a 5.
Okay, that's fair enough. Do you find that... if you sleep late, that kind of like throws you off and makes you feel bad?
Well, here's the thing I'm starting to like wonder about. Because I always wanted to be a person who's like, yeah, I woke up at 5 o'clock, had a cup of coffee, watched the sun come up.
Like me.
Yeah, you know. And I'm like, well, maybe if I didn't like party so hard and I was just like just a normal, boring person, I would be able to do that. And I just can't.
No.
Because... well, not normal, boring, whatever. You know what I mean.
If you guys don't party, you are boring as fuck.
You're not. You're not boring. You're great.
Hey, enjoy your snooze of a life.
But I need quite a bit. Some people just don't need that much sleep.
Yeah, like me.
Yeah, you don't need that much sleep. And I do. I sleep like 8 hours for sure.
Minimum.
But I also like to stay up late, which is a difficult thing. Anyway. The point is that I'm just not a morning person. So I'm going to have to throw that out the window because I've been pretty good this week. I've been like, you know, after last week I had a bit of a hunker down and I'm like, time to, you know, straighten this wagon out. And, it's been going fine.
Here's the thing. I think it's okay that you're not a morning person because you've never been late for anything.
No, I'm
never late. So it's not, you know what I mean? It's not like, oh, I'm not a morning person, then you slept in and missed a meeting or something. That's a problem.
Right.
But it's like for you, it's just quite simply that you have the rest so that you can wake up and function at a higher rate than if you had woken up early and stayed up late. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I do know what you mean.
I don't think you should come down on yourself about it. I think it's kind of cute.
Wow.
He's a little one in there, like Goldilocks, found the right bed, and he's having fun.
So far, I'm Goldilocks and in The Little Rascals.
She would have been great in that movie, and you know it, going in all their little beds.
All right, so hold on. Are you trying to cast Goldilocks in another friend? Oh, fucking. Okay.
Yeah. Kill you. Norm.
Yeah, okay, I'll murder you.
Okay. Norm, what's your goal for the day?
My goal for today
It's been a new thing of mine is asking goals. I don't know why, because I'm trying to steal one. Some from people.
I don't think I have one. I mean, we got some stuff tomorrow.
We do.
Yeah, we're recording this Monday morning. We're going to the Dodger game tomorrow. That's our first baseball game we're going to. That should be fun.
Oh my God, all outdoors, what a dream.
Yeah.
Are masks mandatory?
I have no idea.
Me neither. We better look that up.
Better look it up.
In case anybody wants to know the sexy things we're doing later.
What are the sexy things we're doing?
Looking up the mask mandate.
Oh, yes. Right. How could I forget?
Yeah. Push me off a bridge.
But other than that, a lot of our, like, you know, did we mention that we're trying to get the hell out of Glendale? on the pod?
We did not. This is the first.
Oh, okay. Well, we're trying
We're trying to get the hell out of Glendale.
This town stinks.
It's too many cars ripping back and forth on Chevy Chase. I think it's just too many cars.
I think it's the part of Glendale that we're in.
The old drag where everybody's drag racing.
It's so funny because the street that we live on, I don't think it doesn't really matter because if anyone's going to try to, not that anyone's going to come and stalk our place or whatever, but we live on the street and it's Chevy Chase Drive.
Yeah.
And everyone thinks that it's named after the actor. And it's it's not. But when I first got here, I was like, because there's also a James Woods street. It's like downtown.
Yeah.
I'm like, why are we naming fucking streets after the biggest assholes in
Hollywood? Yeah, and where's Atlanta Zone Avenue?
Hold on. Atlanta Zone Avenue?
Yeah, what, like trampoline zone.
A fucking Sonic the Hedgehog level?
Hey, put him in Little Rascals. You know he's up to something.
Okay.
Shall we get to it?
Might as well. Oh, actually, the guest today is great, and I really like hanging out with Lauren.
She is very cool. I'm so excited to have her. It was a good catch-up because she's in New York right now.
She moved there.
And she did, yes. She is on the cast of Saturday Night Live. She's absolutely hilarious.
First year.
Yeah, and here's the thing, though. She's very hilarious, but also a very good friend.
Mm-hmm.
She's very sweet and always a delight to talk to her. Literally always a delight to talk to her. No dirt on her. And I've got dirt on everybody.
She's too nice to have dirt.
Nice but funny. That's all you can ask for is both.
But also, let's get some dirt in there.
But also, can we please grub her up a bit? Ladies and gentlemen, please help me welcome Lauren Holt. Right after this break. It's a self-esteem party. It's a self-esteem party. Lauren.
Hi.
Lauren, welcome to the podcast. You are sitting in front of a gorgeous photo that you took because I just found out you went to school for art.
This is true. Hello. Thank you so much.
This is true. Hello.
That's how we're starting it off. We're off to a great start.
We're off to a great start. I'm revealing a huge secret of yours about the art school.
Your secret? It is. That was what my degree was in, was art. And then I did not use it at all in my career.
You took the one. This photo.
Except for this photo, and now my career and my degree have officially melded together. So
we did it. And here's the thing, my career in terms of school, I did drop out. So it's why I'm saying no to all the Hollywood jobs. I'm going no thanks. I'm also dropping out of this. So keep your jobs to yourself. Much like you can keep your education to yourself. I have no time, as you can tell.
Yeah, don't need it. Thank you, but no.
Thanks, but you keep your filthy money. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, I know, Lauren. Where that's been.
Up your butt. All right, uh-huh. Lauren. We like to start this podcast off with a self-esteem party check-in. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how you feeling about yourself recently, just today, whatever?
I'm going to say a 7.
Excuse
I feel like I'm a
you.
7. Oh, is that high?
That's
okay.
Well, no. I've had some perfect tens, to which I said can't be true. But that
yeah,
7
a lie.
Is 7. Of course it's a lie. 7 makes yeah. me happy because I think that's a number where, because like if 5's neutral, right? Where mm-hmm. you're like, I don't feel either way. It's not bad. It's not necessarily good. A 7's great because usually it means there's something to look forward to or something good happened that was like different and out of the norm or just like things have been maintained going well. That's why I always like a 7 because it's like,
yeah,
it means things are going good, but you're like, there's still more room for it to
yeah,
go up.
More room to grow. We're a couple ticks above the neutral, so yep. That's good. Yeah. Yeah. So that's where I'm at. I think I'm at a 7.
I'll take it, dude. It's like I'm clocking in a little lower because I'm stressed out and I'm not managing the stress well, but it's like it's not like as a person I'm like, you're a terrible person. So it's like I feel like I'm mixing up. I don't know if you ever do this. Like I mix up self-esteem with what's going on and you know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah,
totally. Yeah,
yeah, like yeah. Outside stress is like making me feel bad, but I'm like, well, I didn't do anything, or I wasn't like I'm terrible. It's just that everything else is terrible, so because I feel terrible, I assume it's about myself, but like Yeah. Nothing happened. I always assume
it's my fault.
Yes, dude, exactly.
It's like my fault that it's happening. It's my fault that I'm not handling it well. And like,
yeah,
that's not okay. And so then therefore I crumble.
Yes, that's exactly how I feel like I'm crumbling right now. And it's kind of one of those things. Oh. I know, dude. It's like, or crumbling or like unraveling. Like I'm being exposed.
Yes. Yes. Your sweater. Someone's pulling on your sweater and slowly but surely we're showing it all.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, just so everybody knows visually, Lauren's in front of a beautiful photo and my tits are out. I have the sleeves on of a sweater. I have a turtleneck sweater and it only goes to above my boobs and my boobs are out.
It's right above the nip. That's what we're seeing right now.
just slightly above. And the problem is, guys, the sweater is the same color as my nipples, so we're just getting confused right now.
Yeah, it is. It's areola pink. It is a beautiful color, though. You look fantastic.
You know I'm clocking in with pink nips. It's like nobody can deny this. We all know. It's like you take one look at me, and you're like, her nipples are for sure translucent. Like it's not even a color at this point.
Truly pearlescent, even. I think they're just like they're glowing, they're gorgeous.
Do you love that I'm laughing covering my boobs?
Yeah, she's covering her nipples currently under a shirt.
Under what some people are calling a full-on shirt.
Yeah.
So
in town, people are calling it that.
So in keeping with this theme, is that something you feel like you've always done, was like blame yourself first?
Yes, of course. Every social interaction that goes weird, anything that happens, I internalize it is my fault. And that is why I am in therapy, of course, because we're trying to work on that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Always taking everything on as my own fault. So
where do you think that came from? Was that like something one of your parents did? Or is that just like it's just always been that way? Like, you know what I mean? Did you learn that?
I don't know. I mean, I've always been a people pleaser. Like, I just want other people to be pleased.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if I'm being pleased. Like, I'm just like, if other people are happy, then I'm happy most of the time. And so that's like just been my forever modus operandi. Just how I've been forever. I don't remember a time when that hasn't been the case. I think my mom's a people pleaser too. So probably like, growing up in the South, that's kind of what it is. The like guilt side of it, or like the side of shame or whatever, like the blame, I feel like that's personal to me. I don't know. I mean, I know other people share it, but like within my family, I don't think anybody else really does that.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of unique. That's kind of special. Ooh, like that.
Honestly, what a great spin. I love that positive attitude about what sounds like a huge burden in life.
What else are we going to do other than spin it in a good way?
I mean, we truly have no choice. That's really interesting. The people-pleasing thing is so hard because you're doing it to be a good person, but it just makes you feel like a bad person. Like, it's so counterintuitive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your gift is your curse. Lauren, I hate to say it.
Wow. Oh, my God.
I'm blowing her mind. Say,
oh, my God.
Anessa Frantowski, former guest, great at catchphrases. Great at catchphrases.
The best.
The best.
You guys, actually, the whole Canadian scene, I'm obsessed with, like, as a group and a crew. I would love to be a part of it. I know. Oh, actually, now you are an American citizen. Yes. So you are now in the American crew. So sorry, you're not as cool.
Yeah, it's like, no offense, your crew reeks. I want no part of it. I made a huge mistake. No, I'll tell you what, dude. It's like, it's been so funny since I've become American, because now that I'm like, I know I can vote or whatever, I'm feeling like really stressed out that I really got to follow politics now. Like, I feel so, because it matters here. So it matters everywhere, obviously, but I feel like it really matters here, like intensely. And
especially
so.
Now, I feel like I wasn't that involved in politics growing up, because what are you going to do, vote as an 8-year-old? But I mean, I should have paid attention more. But just imagine yourself as an American teen where you, you know, you're just getting into it. You're learning. And then now that you can vote, you're like, okay, I need to be up on it a little bit more, but it's okay.
It's impossible. You. It's like one of the, I just said, I put out a policy that I'll vote for anyone. You just, whoever's the first one to tell me, I'll do it. It's as simple as that.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying that's actually a terrible idea.
Okay, yeah, maybe I don't think that's good. Yeah, I don't, in my heart, I don't think that's good, but.
I'm just so happy to vote. I stress out and I just vote for everybody on the ballot. I get so stressed out. One time I
did. And they're like, this doesn't count.
Yeah, this is terrible. And I go, just give it a chance. I did one time vote for a name I'd never heard of. This is in Canada. And I knew who I was voting for. I knew the bigger name, but you know how it's like all the more local voting of like who's in your district and stuff like that?
Yes.
That I didn't know. And I just took a guess. And to this day, I don't know how it panned out. And I was probably the deciding vote when I think about it.
You were. I actually heard about this. Yeah. It was weirdly big news down here, but yeah, you were the deciding vote and it went bad.
And it went bad. Okay, yeah. Lauren, hate to break it to you. You're on Saturday Night Live. Fantastic. Here's what I want to know.
Oh my gosh.
What was it like? Because you moved, you had to move to New York in a very scary time in New York.
Correct.
What was that like to be like, because don't get me wrong, LA got terrible, but we got terrible slightly after you guys were terrible. So what was that like to move into that?
So I was in LA. So I was in LA for almost the entire summer. And so life was pretty terrible in LA, as you know.
Yes.
And it was like right when like the height of things in LA were going on. I don't remember exactly like what months were what.
Yeah.
But I hated it in LA so much. Like I was just fully alone. I was fully going solo.
Yeah.
In my studio apartment, like dying from the inside out. Like I was just like, I hated it. I'm the most extroverted social person that I know.
You are.
I just need to be around people. And so 3 months straight of that not being possible was torture. So then I went to visit my parents. Like I was like, I can't take it anymore. I'm just going to go home. I had full ski goggles. Oh, I had two masks. I had a shield.
Yes.
And I did not touch my face, go to the bathroom, or drink or eat anything for the like 8 or 9 hour duration of like airport to airport.
Oh, dude, that's crazy. Commitment.
I was freaking out. I mean, I still am very terrified of this virus, but I was like hardcore freaking out, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there was like a guy that, cause there was like the rule where if you're eating, you don't have to wear a mask. So the other guy next to me was like fully, he had enough snacks to last the whole 5 hour or 6 hour flight.
Oh God.
And I was like, can we stop him? I was like asking the flight attendant, I was like, he's just eating like the entire time. And she was like, there's nothing I can do. And I was like, all right. Yeah. Anyway, I went into a panic mode. But anyway, so I was in North Carolina for a couple weeks visiting my parents when I got the call. And then
from me, I called you and I was like, Lauren,
yes, from Elena,
you've made the cut. Head on over to New York.
yep. And I said, oh, baby, thank you. I was expecting this call. So I got the call from in North Carolina. And then flew up to New York. But like my parents were like the first people I had seen. I had seen like my sister and her boyfriend in LA, but like I just wasn't used to being around people. Then I had to immediately go to New York and then dive in. Like it was just crazy. And I still haven't been back to my apartment in LA. My best friend moved me out. Chad Westbrook, best friend in the world.
Ooh,
huge shout out. He'll get all the shout outs from now until the end of time. But yeah, he moved all my stuff out for me and I have to come back to LA this summer to go through it. But
wow, yeah. Lauren,
it's crazy. Yeah, but I moved here. I am just now getting to explore the city after work. Like we didn't do any. I didn't do anything the entire span of the show. Like I didn't. Yeah,
of course.
So I'm going out to restaurants now and like seeing the city. I went to 3 museums this week. You know,
I thought you were going to say
now
today.
I'm loving it.
I thought you were going to say 3 museums today. Yeah. It's like
I
11 a.m.
I did.
Your
I
time.
Got. Wow. I like to get an early start. Yeah. When I'm looking at art.
For the art. So I can't believe that. Like, to live in a new city without exploring it for months must feel like crazy. I can't even imagine.
I couldn't even hang out with anyone because, like, I would go to work and the COVID restrictions were so tight that, like, we weren't allowed to hang out. Our dressing rooms and our offices were, like, you can't have more than one person in there.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it was like, not the show and everything, but like the moving to a new city and not being able to do anything or see anyone was a nightmare.
Yeah, that's what that's definitely, because I watched you on the show, and which was fantastic. It was such a fun season, but that it was the like living situation I was so curious about the whole time, because I was just thinking like, I just, like, even when I moved to LA and didn't really have, like, that many friends, even that felt so isolating, and I could have gone anywhere. So I was, like, moving to a new city where, because of COVID, not the job, and the job precaution, which I'm, like, so happy to hear. And I assume that was happening because you guys, like, really had a tight ship, and at the end of the show with the mask. So that was all fantastic. I thought that was great. But it's, like, the social aspect where you're, like, okay, so can't hang out with coworkers, don't know anybody else here, can't even go to a bar and try to meet somebody new. Like, you're just like, I can't do anything.
Yeah, it was crazy. Actually, I do have a couple of friends here, and we, like, before it got really cold, we went and did, like, with my friend Adele, we went, like, and sat out in the park, like, 8 feet away, like, yelling to each other. But that was, like, and then it got so cold. There was one, and also, coming from LA, and I lived in North Carolina before that, never had winter clothes ever. Right. So I borrowed a coat because I couldn't like go to a store or get one. I was just like, I borrowed one.
Oh my God.
And then I was like wearing socks on my hands, and like I had Target rain boots, like Target ankle rain boots that only kept water in. They like didn't keep water out. And so I was just like, sitting in the snow basically, and then we were like, we can't do this anymore.
Yeah, people were like you money because they felt bad, and you were like, no, I have a job. But everyone's just handing you cash to get real gloves. It's like
you can picture the visual quite well, I think. Yeah, you got it.
I never even thought about, like, because obviously I'm from Canada, I got a winter coat in my closet just because when I would go home for Christmas. I never even thought about that, like clothes, and you can't go to the store to get clothes. Like, that's,
I mean, I could have ordered it online, but I was just like, I didn't want to like buy a huge, like, I don't know. It was just like a whole thing that I was like, I'm going to put it off. And then I was like, I can't put it off anymore. And then but the deliveries, like they weren't delivering because of snow. And like, it was just crazy.
Oh my God, dude. What a wreck. You made it through. So thank God we're in the summer. We're laughing now.
And we're at a 7.
We're at a seven. Yes. It's like we made it. Are you, listen, are you at a 7 quite simply because you no longer have socks on your hands?
To put it bluntly, yes. Yes, that is true.
You've really moved up. All the money everybody gave you, you bought some gloves, and you have beautiful summer gloves. So it's like you have like nice silk
summer gloves.
Summer gloves.
Yes. We've got my summer gloves on with the tips cut off.
Okay, so I have a question because I only know one other person from North Carolina. I've been once, and very nice, super quaint. Everyone was like, you know, in a good mood, I guess, or at least the people I saw. It didn't talk to, but the people I saw seemed to be in a good mood. But it's, I just wondered, like, to get back to the people pleasing, is that, because I don't know much about it, that's like a thing from the South? Is it like to be courteous, or like what's behind that?
Yeah. Manners, like appearance is a lot. I mean, it's not everywhere. I won't generalize for every sure. Southern place, but like in Charlotte and in like my community and stuff, it's very much like, you know, best foot forward. Everyone's like showing the, like the shiny veneer. It's not really like, you don't dig into stuff unless it's like personal, like your personal friends, but like, right. it's a lot of like, you know, the classic, like bless her heart. It's a lot of like euphemisms and a lot of, yeah, I mean, it's just like happy kind of vibes on the outside.
Right. Canada has, yeah. it's so interesting that, that you guys have that of like to be courteous, because obviously Canadians are known to be very polite, but there is a level of it being passive aggressive, right? Because you're like,
oh,
yes, there's a bit of a level. And for the Canadians that listen, if you disagree, that's fine. See, that's an example. You see,
you yes,
see that's how I we totally that's how we it. Respond. You yes. see.
But that has so many layers. Yeah.
So many layers. Unlike my boobs exposed from my sweater, no layers at all.
It's still unraveling. We're it's, seeing as more we go now, up. Yeah.
Now we're the armpits are out.
We're to the collarbone.
We're getting to the collarbone now. But yeah, it kind of comes across that way, because it's like everyone's pretending to be nice. But if anything, I think we need to speak up more, because I found, at least growing up, a lot of people had built resentment. And I yeah. found that, and I, with friends and stuff, I mean, like, you know, ages ago, but it's like with friends and stuff, it would like kind of all come out in a big, almost explosive way. And I'm like, if we had just talked about this stuff along the way, we wouldn't yeah. have reached this boiling point. And so, yeah. it, you know what I mean? It was very like,
totally.
Yeah. It was very interesting. And moving to the States, it was just completely different here. I lived in Chicago for a bit and California. So those are, when I say moving to the States, those are the only two examples I have. I've just been to okay. the South for a couple trips, but actually where I was living in Chicago was so interesting. I found everyone to be very, brash? Is that...
Okay,
is
yeah.
that, is that like very, Rashes very good, yeah. to the point, very whatever, but because LA has all transplants, you're getting everybody here. It's like, I'm so confused yeah. here. There is no LA way, because everyone's from,
no.
or most people are from somewhere else, and they're bringing that here. Yeah. So when I meet my friends here, it's just so interesting, and I'm always so curious about where you guys are from and what it's like there, because I'm like, I can't explain any of you. Like none of you. Like being at the UCB.
Well, nowhere. It's like, yeah, nowhere makes sense. No matter where you are, it doesn't make sense. Like, and everyone's got their isms, right? Like, I was gonna say, I thought Chicago would be more like Midwestern and like pretty, like, you know, like happier and like
people
nice
were happy.
In that way.
People were happy, but definitely okay. told it like it is. But people were like,
okay.
I think it was just. I don't know if it would. I don't know.
Maybe
it's
that's
it's
like
a big
America
city.
Versus Canada.
Right.
Oh, that too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like compared to Canada, it was more like tell it like it is.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That
I don't
could
know.
Be it. Yeah. In know. Canada, we're not telling you anything. We're going to smile nicely. Off you go. That's it. You get nothing out of us. okay. So you're in New York. You're from the South. You're a bit of a people pleaser. Your mom's a bit of a people pleaser. Have mm-hmm. you, as time has gone on, like, is there situations when you realize, like, especially in your friendships, because when you're friends with someone for a long time, the people pleasing, at least I found, because I have a bit of that, was really hard to maintain. Because when you know somebody so well and they know you so well, I feel like the surface, like things come through, like crack through that. At least that's what I found with yeah. my friends. Like I was always on the way, I describe it, and Norm and I were talking about this in relationships. We say best behavior at the beginning, right? You're getting the best version of me.
Yes.
And then slowly it's
totally.
Like, I can't maintain the friend that's always going to be nice to you, because at some point you're going to say something so much or that's so wrong or harmful to you that I'm going to have to go, okay, hold on. This is madness. Like I can't keep yeah. it up anymore. I can't do it. I'm lying yeah. to you if I do.
Yes. I think that's like, I'm not like that people pleasy to my core, if that makes sense. Like yeah. it's mainly like, it's so weird. I like want to impress like strangers more than I do my friends.
Really?
You know, like Yeah. Well, because like I want everyone to be my friend. So I'm like, okay, best behavior to anyone that's not my friend. And then I'm like, okay, once you're in, you're in. But like, it's, I don't know how to put that. But like, yeah, I mean, I would be honest with people and be like, is that what you're talking about?
Like, yeah, that. Like I'm talking about maintaining that people pleasing, and that at some point, because honesty isn't always pleasing to somebody. Like sometimes it's hard to be honest, and that's what I mean of like maintaining the people pleaser, and that at some point it just comes down and depletes because you're just like, I can't just try to make you happy or make you feel good. I have to start telling you the truth of situations because it could be harming them. It could be toxic for you. You know, there's so many reasons why you have to tell the truth.
Oh, totally. And I'll like definitely tell the truth. I'm not much of like, I won't people please that much where I won't tell someone my actual opinion on something. Like I'm not going to agree to something. And like, if someone says something wildly inappropriate, I'm going to be like, okay, let's not say that. Like, that's not okay. You know,
so. Just a nice blanket. Let's not say that.
Yeah. Yeah. Or just like, you know, whatever it is, like I'll be honest with my feelings if I need to be. But it's more like I do want everyone to just be happy all the time, which my therapist says is impossible.
I'm so, literally miserable in this moment. You're out to lunch and I'm buying. You know what I mean? It's like,
oh, gosh. I mean, yeah, but yeah.
Have you ever had an experience, because you said that you want strangers to like you too, which like as performers, I get it. The whole audience is strangers and you're like, I want every one of you, even if it's just 5 of you in the audience or 500 of you in the audience, I want everybody to like me. Like,
fall in love with me.
Oh my God, dude. It was like, did you ever see Gladiator?
No.
Oh, for starters, how dare you? Second of all,
I'm going to do it right after.
You've got
this,
to do it right after this. I know it was already on the agenda. You've got to do it right after this.
He says that. Right. And you can see it. It was in my planner. You can see it. It's right there.
Okay. She held up her phone and I saw a pair of shoes. So I'm not really sure about your
background. Is a photograph of shoes.
Some beautiful shoes. But in the movie, so he's forced to like fight in this Colosseum style, like, you know, he's fighting tigers, he's fighting other gladiators, whatever. And
I know the idea of gladiators.
Gladiators.
I can kind of put together the movie.
He was like kind of started at nothing, and then his like mentor, the guy that, well, not mentor, I mean the guy was making him fight, but he was like, win the crowd. That's what he says to him. He was like, win the crowd, because they can't kill you off if the crowd loves you, because then the crowd won't come back. So it's like, to save his life, win the crowd. And let me tell you something, Lauren. Can Russell Crowe ever win a crowd? Just in this movie. I know he's lost crowds otherwise, but in this movie, he won the crowd. In this movie.
Gladiator Russell Crowe really could nail it. Yeah.
And have you ever had an experience where it's like, you know, you kind of tried to win someone or put it on or to be charming, and it just straight up didn't work?
Yeah.
Me too.
Of course. I mean, yeah, there's some people that you're just like, oh, we're the opposite. Okay. That's okay. Yeah.
But it's okay. I always take it personally. I'm trying to work on that with my therapist, to not take things personally. Okay. Right. We've all got our little to-dos. But I would take it personally and become like fixated on it. I definitely did this more in my 20s, but I would become fixated on why doesn't this person like me? And I couldn't stand it person by person. I guess I had a couple. I couldn't stand it because I was like, why? But you can't ask them, why don't you like me?
Right. Is this like, was this with like romance or friends or just like acquaintances or
never
what?
Never romance. Everybody's in love with me. And that's a fact. Listen, it might sound like a joke. Sounds like a fact.
You're making a joke. And I'm honestly telling you that I believe that that's true.
Here we are with the honesty.
Everybody's ever liked you.
Very good. See, you said you were honest. Here we are. But
what were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say, it's so different. With me, the level of confidence I have with guys versus friends, it's like, it's completely day and night. It's like, with friends, I'm so insecure. People are mad at me. But with guys, I'm like, I dare you to get mad at me. Please try not to love me. I dare you.
Oh my God. Wow. I want that. I want that. I want that.
Lauren, you want to take the dating scene by storm. Let me tell you, first of all, show up in a mink coat. Boy, will they be dazzled. I'm just kidding. This is your winter coat. You should have had, is that the coat you borrowed? A beautiful mink coat? Yeah. With your socks?
Oh, yeah, that's what I borrowed. Exactly. It was actually chinchilla. It was. Yeah, they're like, and my gloves, my socks were mink. So, yeah.
Yeah. They're like, it's all I've got to spare. And you're like, okay, great.
Fine. I'll take it.
Yeah. The dating thing is tough.
Yeah. It's super tough. Like, I am all over the place with dating. I am currently like out there on the market trying to, you know, find a dude, and it's tough, but like especially right now, just with like apps and stuff, like no one's really like going out yet.
Exactly.
And like,
it's a really
in
tough
a new
time.
City, it's scary, and yeah. Like it's just weird. So, but anyway, with guys, like if a guy doesn't like me, it's really funny. I'm like, I'll be like, oh my, like I'll be like super nervous and be all like, I just, if I really like a guy, I turn into an idiot around them. And mm-hmm. So I'm just like, I don't know. Yeah. What? Yeah. That's so funny. Yeah. Or whatever. And then, but if if we find out that he's not into me, I immediately get mad. And I'm like,
as you should. As you should. Let me tell you something. So Norm, when I told him you were doing the podcast, Norm uh-huh. said, I won't name names, but Norm was like, you're going to bring up that time we were all at Jay's bar and Lauren was all upset because this guy didn't like her. And we said she was out of her mind because she was way better than him. And I was like, I will bring that up. It was like,
yep.
Lauren,
okay, yeah, great.
Do you know the time I'm talking about, right? We were in the back corner.
Big time, yeah.
Okay, I knew yep, you'd yep, remember. Yep. Because
you guys
I
had a bottle of champagne.
It was Wednesday night. The champagne's $15 a bottle, so we all went on Wednesday nights, yep. obviously. And
right.
I will never forget.
Of Maude, yeah.
Yeah, I will. And we were like friends, but I didn't know you super well at that point. Like, we, yeah. you know, around UCB, we know each other and everything. And we had chatted and yep. stuff, but not super well at that point. And we spent the whole night together in the back chatting.
Yeah.
Norm was with us, and it was like, you know when you have that moment with friends where you're like, this is the transition now into becoming like friends. Like before you're acquaintances that are yes. friendly, and now you're like, no, I can call this person my friend. Like I, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So that was our night.
Totally.
Yes. And I
right?
will never
loved
forget.
It.
You were like, I like him so much and he just doesn't like me. And Norm, more than me, because I was like, okay, I understand, you know, we all have kind of odd crushes, but Norm was like, baffled, like almost disappointed in you. Baffled. We went home. He went on a he was on a rant that night.
Oh,
like he was like,
my God.
He was like, what is she talking about? We had just like, it's like, you know, because we watch you on Maude and everything like that. Watch your team. And Maude, for everybody, is the name of the sketch teams at UCB, it's called. And you know, mm-hmm. you like slay, obviously. And we were just like, I don't even know. Like we were beside ourselves, like to the point where we talked about it alone without you. And then Norm brought it up like 2 years later. But it's like, Lauren,
I gotta tell you, yeah. that makes me feel so happy.
But where did that come from? Like at what point, like, I just don't understand how you couldn't tell that you were so above this person. And listen, it's not this person's fault. It's just like, you're such a catch. I mean, you are such a catch. It's wild. You're very disciplined, because that night we had also talked about how every year you pick one goal that you're going to do for the year, and you did it. Like,
yeah.
You were explaining the years to me of the goals that you had. So you're very disciplined.
Yeah.
Which I think is attractive yeah. because it's someone with a good work ethic. Obviously, you've proven that. You have most of our dream job right now. So you have work ethic. So we were right about that. But like, you're gorgeous. You're friendly. You're fun. You love to go out. Like you said, to be social. I remember everywhere I'd go out, you would absolutely be there. You and Anessa, very good at that. You and Anessa, very good at being social and someone fun at the party to talk to.
My favorite thing. I would just live at parties. People have been talking about weddings because they're all popping
sure.
up again, and
yep.
people are like, this is the nightmare summer of weddings, and I'm like, take me with you. I would go to a stranger's wedding where I didn't know anyone and have the best night of my life. Like, I love people and strangers so much that I would just go to a stranger's wedding and have an absolute blast.
Well, here's the thing. I would have invited you to mine, but we eloped and it was only 4 minutes, so I didn't have the time.
Was I crushed? Absolutely.
Yeah, that you. No, I invited no friends in Europe, said that you didn't come. I didn't invite any Canadians.
No, I don't care if your family wasn't there. I wanted to be there, okay?
I wanted to give you away.
I told you that when we met, I want to walk you down the aisle, okay? And lo and behold, did that happen? Absolutely not.
Honestly, and Lauren,
I'll never forget it.
I forgot to DM you. As we know, we talk via DM, even though we have each other's numbers. I love it. Correct, I'm never going to stop DMing people. I think it's hilarious because it's fun when you go onto Instagram or Twitter and you have a message. You're like, oh, who's reaching out to just me?
Oh, yes.
Right?
I guess I'm just so popular. Yes.
Popular just my messages.
Hey, no one's seeing this, but it does give me it gives us a little ping, you know. We
it
love
does.
It.
It does. It does. And it's fun.
Sometimes texts become work.
I was just about to say that. Usually when somebody texts you, they want something out of you. But it's like when you had messaged me, it was so because we had the GoFundMe for my niece and it was so nice. Like you sent me a nice message or whatever. And I was like, this is why I like those messages because text usually wants something, but a DM is usually just like, congrats on this or, you know, I saw this and a
I
comment.
I love this pic.
Yeah, right? Yeah. It's like, that's usually what it is. So I think that's why I like getting more. And here's another thing about messages. I don't know if you have this, but people for dating prospects slide into the DMs because they don't know how else to find you. So sometimes that happens too, where someone's like, oh, I saw you in this, or like, I have this crush or blah, blah, blah. Have you had that? Sometimes. Oh, have you had that
Well,
yet?
My ex kind of did that. My ex kind of did that a little
no.
bit.
No. An
ex? Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That's fair. I guess.
But it was fine. Like it was, you know, great.
But wait, does your ex have your phone number?
No, sorry. That's how we met, was like on Instagram.
Oh, okay. I was okay, this is what I thought happened. I thought you had dated this person.
Okay.
They were your ex, and then they DM'd you, and I was like, that's a bit much. They have your number, clearly. That's why I was so confused.
Well, like, I'm friends with every guy that I've, like, been with, so it's, like, they do slide into the DMs, but it's not like that, if that makes sense. But
hold on. You've just dropped a massive bomb. You're friends with everyone you've dated? Why?
Because I'm a people pleaser.
And it all comes back, circles back around.
Because I don't care what happened. I still want everyone to like me.
Oh, my God. I could.
I mean, I don't know. I think that, like, I haven't dated that many people because I was, like you said, pretty determined on my career. So, like, I have had, shall we say, dalliances, little trysts. Those kinds of things. We will say that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so it means so if it's like, short-lived, a little like, or like not too intense.
Right. I haven't had a really intense love affair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause
so like,
you wouldn't
nothing
be
really
friends.
Serious because I've, right, yeah.
Yeah.
If it was really intense and bad, then yeah, I don't know.
I couldn't.
We won't get into this last one, but like, yeah, I still am friends with him, even though we like, I mean, it was fine. It was fine. But
yeah, you're a better person than I, because let me tell you, to my exes that are listening, probably all of them, if you want to be friends with Alana Johnston, dream the fuck on about it. Let me tell you this. I, first of all, initiate the breakups right out of the gate. Best of luck staying in my life. I don't remain friends with him because here's how I look at it. I wasn't your friend before, and being friends with me is a gift from God. So I'm not going to be your friend after you. And by the time we break up afterwards, you just don't exist in my life. Your pictures are deleted. Your number's out of my phone unless I need it.
Wow.
And yeah, you're just done. And it had always been this way for me with all my exes until I sold this show to Comedy Central, and I invited my exes on to do a panel to talk about why do I only want to date young buff guys. And I was like, so what do you think went wrong in the relationship so that I could make the relationship for my young buff guy I wanted to date better?
Oh my God.
Yeah, dude.
That is brilliant.
Yeah, it was like, and you remember, because you came to Self Esteem Party. You came to the live show, right? I believe you came.
Oh, yeah. Loved it.
Thank you so much. Yes. But in the show, I did talk about the one guy I dated who didn't speak English as well, like was kind of learning English. And we got on great.
Yes.
It worked out perfect because I'm very expressive when I talk because I'm so used to talking with my Arabic relatives. Lots of people would come from Syria and visit us, not know the English or whatever. Understandably so, obviously. So we would have to communicate very big, expressive to understand. So it worked out great with him, but I had messaged him and asked him to be on the panel. And at that time I was doing I Want My Phone Back, where the show where I would take their phones.
I loved that show.
It's like I would take people's phones and find dirt on them and dare them to be like, for $5, let me text your ex-boyfriend that you want to get back together. Like, stir shit up. So when I texted him asking if he wants to do the panel, I had been like, will you come talk to me about our dating? And he just wrote me back going, I will never give you my phone. And I was like, okay, so we've had a bit of confusion about what I asked. And he thinks I'm trying to take his phone. And like, I don't blame him though. That I would think that too, because that's the show that was on air.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I also understand why he wouldn't want to come talk to me, because it was a bad breakup. It was like, and I didn't mean to, but I ripped his heart out. And I didn't mean to. I just, you know, when one day you decide I can't do this anymore and you rip it off like a Band-Aid and you blindside somebody. Have you ever done that?
No. But I know that
you haven't. Yeah. What am I talking about? Of course you haven't. Why would you?
No. But I want to. I want to be as powerful and like as amazing as you. And that sounds incredible. I want to be able to do that.
Lauren, it's just in the dating. When it comes to real life, I am unraveling, as we know. But yeah, for some reason in the dating, my mom did not instill the importance of a significant other growing up. It was more the importance of working and being independent and having your own money, because a lot of the women, wives in my neighborhood growing up didn't have jobs, which is fine, but then got divorced from their husbands numerous. Like it was like a whole thing.
Yeah.
And then were like screwed. And really had to hustle to figure it out later in life. So my mom was like, you're always going to have your shit figured out. Meanwhile, here I am saying no to Hollywood. It's like, she's not going to be pleased about that. I can tell you that much. That's not going to go over well. But yeah, so it was more the independence. So I just never valued relationships until really Norm. And even then. Yeah.
Even then, we don't value Norm. Get out of here.
Never value. Nobody wants to hear the intro to the podcast. It's the worst part. Just so rude. He's like the best guy. He's the best guy.
He truly is. I mean, you guys are like the dream couple, honestly. Just two amazing stunners found each other. Hilarious people that are kind. Just all of the boxes are ticked.
Lauren, I cannot believe I haven't been calling myself a stunner this entire time. It's like you just blew my mind, stunner. Oh my God, please. My face is covered in like oil on purpose. It's like, I gotta get, there's sand in my hair. I was like laying in sand with a 4-year-old boy. It's like a whole thing. I don't want to get into it, but I was in a lot of sand yesterday.
That's I was going to say that sand in the hair is kind of hot, but then you were talking about it with the poor boy.
And just so everybody knows, there was distance between us. It's not what you think it is. It's not my son. Everybody thinks it's my son. I've just never mentioned.
Did you just say a 4-year-old boy?
I just called him a 4-year-old boy.
Sorry, it was my son.
This is a 4-year-old boy that I guess is mine. No, I would never. I don't. Do you want to have kids? This is a quick side note. Do you want to have kids? You do?
Yes. I love kids. I was a nanny for like forever.
Well, Lauren, I ran into you a la the nannying. Remember by my old house?
Oh, yeah. I nannied on your street.
Yeah, remember?
For 4 years. Yeah.
And we had just run into each other after you had been working there so long. And you were like, you live here? And I was like, you work here? And like, we had no idea we were so close to each other.
I walked by your house every day on adventure walks. I would take Sunny on adventure walks. Like, that was our thing. And we would just walk around Los Feliz and like, there was the stump hole. If you don't know about that, it's do you know about it?
Are you talking about the stump in front of my place?
No, there's that one, which we also have to talk about. One of the worst moments of my life happened right in front of your place.
Can we forget the other stump? What happened? I have to hear what happened.
Near that stump, I got my first... I was at work nannying right down the street. And then I was about to go on an adventure walk with Sunny. And I got a call from my brand new managers. Mm-hmm. And they said, you have a showcase tomorrow for SNL. And I said, oh my God. Start bawling my eyes out. Oh, so excited. On a different planet. I was so happy. Because I didn't expect it. It came out of nowhere to me. Because like, they asked for me to make a fake SNL tape that was like just to send to casting directors. And so I was like, no pressure, put it all on tapes, whatever. So this came out of nowhere, but it was for tomorrow. Okay.
Oh my God.
So then I'm like, I call my parents. I'm so excited. And then Sonny's like, what the heck is going on? I think he was like 2, I think. And so then we go on our adventure walk and I'm walking right in front of your house or your apartment building. Yeah. Immediately fall into a hole, break my foot. And my main character was this high heel,
the high heels woman
who can't walk in heels. And I had to, my entire life like happened and ended in the same 10 minute span. I was like, just like shattered. Utterly shattered.
Literally.
And so
your foot literally shattered.
My bones were shattered. So then I like, we had obviously had to like go take him back. Like I had to like call his mom to like help me like come back to the house. And then I just iced it the entire next 24 hours and did it on a broken foot because I just had to do it.
I never knew this. I cannot believe this story. Like, wow. You know what? A friend told me that, you know, there's like different things of that like happen in your body. Like, for example, if your throat hurts, what is it you're afraid to say? This is very spiritual, whatever. And apparently like when your foot hurts, it's like if you're afraid to move forward, which is so funny because you did exactly that. So you did move forward.
Yeah.
So I'm going to tell her to fuck off because it was her mom that said it. I'm going to tell her mom to fuck off because you showed the breaking of the foot, if anything, launches you to the next step.
Yeah, dude. But it was crazy though. Because people were scared when I did it. When I still do it. I'm like trying to, we'll see if I ever get it on. But like the like sheer horror on people's faces, because I like fully... I'm like wobbling in 6-inch heels, but I am really controlled when I do it. But when I'm walking in full on tennis shoes, I break my feet. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But,
that bit's crazy. Cause you're rolling your ankles while you're doing it. It's a crazy bit.
Yes, it is. So anyway, but I did it on a broken foot and like I was icing it before and after the showcase. And like, and then what's really crazy is, to fully bookend it, on my last audition for the show, I had done the audition already, thank God.
Yeah.
But I was like, I had just gotten the call that I was like going to stay in New York for meetings. Like it was like over some like break or whatever. And mm-hmm. so they were like, we're going to move your flight back. You're going to stay an extra week. And I was like, oh my God, amazing. Like I just got this amazing call. Me and my Chad was visiting me here in New York. We were about to go out for the night. We were walking out of the hotel. I had these brand new shoes on and the floor in this room was concrete and I slipped, broke it again. same foot.
I can. I'm sorry. I cannot believe you are not shouting this story to the hilltops. You know what, Lauren? I'm so glad that that happened because look, you moved forward right into the job. Here we go.
We did. We made it. It was about a year later, but it worked.
So wait. When you got hired, your foot was broken?
No. Okay. Sorry. I didn't get hired that time, but it was like I got the call that I was going to stay for meetings. I had meetings before, and then it was like it's a long process.
Oh, for the next time, so like, when you got the call.
The next time it was a year later. Like I got, it was not the call. The call happened last year.
Oh, okay.
But I got the call from like one of the talent people that I was going to stay for meetings.
Got it.
So then that was like, to me, it was like the first, the call,
of
which
course
was just for like a showcase.
Yeah.
So it was like in layers, but yeah, that one, but then I broke my foot and then was on crutches in New York for a week. And,
God.
It's awful.
That's
it
hard.
Is awful.
That's hard too. Cause most jobs, I had that with the job, that I did back in Canada. It's like, it's so many steps and you don't realize it. Like when you start doing comedy, you're like, great, I'm going to get a phone call saying, here's your brand new TV show. You're the star. And you're like, sounds good. And then you're like, wait a second. That is not how it happens at all.
Oh, no.
Yeah, dude, like that kid show that I did, it was like, it dragged out of like the different auditions and then meeting people and this and that. And it's like, you don't realize the biggest takeaway I got from that. And I'm sure you did too. Like most people, patience. That it's all boils down to patience. Who can wait it out the longest and like hang on?
It's patience and how well you're able to deal with a lack of control.
Yep.
And as a control freak, that has been my entire life for the past, like, 3 years basically has been, how can you deal with not being in control? That is the key to happiness in this industry.
Well, even truly in this industry, and now I would say in COVID, that's really expanded to all industries, because you're like, for example, a teacher, you're like, I'm not in control if I'm in the classroom or not. If I have to go, I have to go. If I have to stay and do the Zoom class, I have to stay and do the Zoom class. Like, it's just so interesting. Like Norm and I were talking about it. And when we were talking about career and, you know, lack of jobs and everything like that, because so much shut down, we were saying we've been prepped for this for 10 years. It's like, I know how to sit without a job. I get that. It's still scary, and for a very scary reason with the virus, obviously. So there's another level of stress, but it's like, yeah, I can cruise through not working because I'm like, oh, here again? No problem. It's like that. That's what it is, right? You're like, back to this old joke? You got it.
Exactly. Yeah, I feel you, man. I did not deal with it that well. I was not used to sitting still. I was like I was nannying all day and then doing shows at night. And then, and then when that all happened, it was like, oh, no. have to sit with these thoughts. Oh no, have to sit still.
Yeah, literally, because you keep breaking your foot. So yes, sit still, I beg of you. Please take some weight off the old foot there, I'm begging you. Okay.
Yeah.
Lauren, you started this podcast off at a self-esteem party 7. How are you feeling now?
Let's say, honestly, 7.5. We moved up a half a point.
Excuse me. I accept your offer of a 7.5. I will take it. I got to say, you have like me. And listen, I like to record this podcast in the morning because I find it's a really great way to start my day. And I was not wrong. I was crying before the recording of this. Various reasons.
No.
Stress. Just, I'm very stressed out right now. And you know, like sometimes you're so stressed out, it's like you just cry. Like I wasn't sad, but I'm just so stressed out, right?
And yeah, have to release.
Yeah, the release.
Crying is a great release.
The release, because I can't yell at anyone. I can't do anything because everything's not anybody's fault. So it's like, the release.
Yeah.
It's a great way to put it. And I was like, I don't know how I'm going to get through this without, you know, being a total bummer. And like, man, just to selfishly say, boy, did I feed off your energy, because I'm feeling so much better now. So I truly thank you.
Oh, God.
I truly thank you for like just giving me energy, and you're so fun to talk to. But like, you know, it's nice to have a real conversation with someone, but it's also like just to see the smiling face and get a couple gags in there before 9 a.m. It's like, yes, please. It's like, Jesus, you have turned the day.
Yeah,
you've turned the day.
Same with you and mine.
Well,
you started my day off on an ultimate high.
Well, I've gotten you back into your art career, you know, so yes, I will take all credit for the new art career.
Yes.
Of taking photos of just
me
on Zoom.
People.
Yeah.
Hire me to take photos of Yosemite. It will just be landscape photography.
It is just the one photo, guys. We can retake that photo a bunch of times, but it is just going to be the one shot.
Yep. It's that one that everyone has. I also have it.
Making it the least special thing ever.
It truly is just the lookout when you first drive into Yosemite is where this photo was taken.
Yeah,
where you can't see is all the station wagons and RVs right behind it and the people with iPads right next to me that are taking the
exact old
people
same photo. With iPads. You know it's an older person when they've got that iPad out.
Of course. Yeah. With the flap, like with the cover attached, and it's just like knocking into their face, like holding it up, you know?
Honestly, this is really killing me because this is so accurate. It's like, and I can't, it's like a new, and like they're, you know, people are doing it in like recitals, like in sitting, like where people can veer, it's like inconvenient. You're blocking other people because the iPad's so big. Oh my God.
You might as well set up an old timey large photo, large format camera with a curtain on the back. Like you might as well just do that.
And honestly, can we please sun protection? Lauren, other than on SNL, where can we find you online? Because I know you post a couple pics here and there. You're not as active. You're not the most active, but you post a couple fun pics. I've seen a few little smiles in there.
Social media does give me an immense amount of anxiety. So I tried to.
And I'm begging you to promote it.
No, I do. I want to promote it. I love Instagram. I mainly like interacting with people and like support. Like I love commenting. You'll see me on everyone's things being like, I got all the emojis. But it does make me happy to like see what people are doing and like feel like I'm connected and like support what they're doing. But I'm on Instagram as @HoltLauren, which is just my last name and my first name. People think it says Hot Lauren. And I take that and I say thank you.
You say thank you.
It is not, but thank you.
You say thank you. And as you should, you are hot. If you guys would like to follow the podcast, we're @SelfEsteemParty on Instagram and Twitter. And if you'd like to follow me, I'm @TheOnlyAlannaJohnston on Instagram and @Alanna_Johnston on Twitter. But I might change that to Mega Juicy Babe Alanna. I'll keep you guys posted.
I support this.
Thank you. Lauren, thanks so much for chatting with me, and stay on the line. I have about 30 more minutes of material to talk to you about.
Excellent. Can't wait.
You can officially stop recording.
Okay.
Believe in yourself. Believe in your body.